We're going to read one verse in Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, verse number 12. Acts 4, verse number 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. We may refer to another verse in a bit, but I've been thinking of this verse. Now, I know the last time I spoke, now we weren't chatting, but the last time I spoke here, I was speaking on John 3:16, and when I was thinking of this, I wasn't thinking about it for here. But I got thinking about it, and when I spoke last time, I was trying to impress the necessity of being born again. And so here we read that we must be saved, but that's not really where I want to focus this evening, on that particular phrase, because that's not really in the context. It's there, but I want to look at this and hopefully by presenting what was going on, it's something for you to realize. And so I've been thinking about this verse the last few days, more than the last few days, the last two or three weeks. Suppose the verse was read like this. Suppose this is all we read. Neither is there salvation, for there is none. There's lots of bad news. Suppose that that was the message. No salvation. No hope. You know, I was at the doctor's office on Monday, and I was getting a driver's medical so I could keep my class 3. I don't need it, but I'd like to keep it. So he was finishing up, and he says, is there anything else? I said, well, yes, I've got this spot in my ear. I had it burned off a couple years ago. I think it's coming back. And so he looks at it again, and suppose that he told me it's cancerous, and there's no hope. Now, that would not be good news. That would be probably, naturally speaking, that would be devastating. But he looked at the spot, and he told me the exact same thing he did. He said, yeah, that was burned off in 2024. He said it's got a 5 to 15% chance of becoming cancerous, and if it did, it's only about a 5% chance it would spread. But he said, we'll burn it off. Well, that's good news. But there's lots of people, and that's not the message they get. There are people, and they go to the doctor, and they do the exploratory surgery, and they close them up, and they say, there's no hope. Set your affairs in order. You're not going to survive. And there are families not far from here tonight, and they're looking at the future, and it is very bleak. What if this verse said, there is no salvation because there's no one? Now, mind you, you have been hearing, what is your plan with regards to salvation? Salvation is in this verse. It is the rescue that you need from your sin. It is the forgiveness of sins that you need. And if you are not saved, the day is going to come. This will be the message. There is no salvation. There's no salvation. But tonight, that is not the message. The verse doesn't say, neither is there salvation because there is no one. You know what the background of this story is? Now, this verse takes place not too long after the Lord Jesus died. And I can prove it a couple of ways. I don't know exactly how long. It might be a couple of years. Likely it's only months. And here's what is happening. It starts, and you can read it on your own in chapter 3, and I encourage you to do it. In fact, if you don't want to listen to me, read Acts chapter 3 and pay attention. What happens? Peter and John, they're in Jerusalem, they're going to the temple, and there is a man sitting there. And I often wonder, why did the Lord not heal him when he was here? Quite likely this man was there. And he sees Peter and John coming. He was a beggar, likely holding a cup. And he looked at Peter and John, and he was expecting that they were going to reach into their pocket. David tried to give away a bunch of my money. I didn't have the money. They were looking for these two men to reach into their pocket and to give him something. And he looks and he waits. Peter says, "We don't have any silver or gold." Look, the man sighs. Don't know what kind of a day it was. But then Peter says, "But what we have, we will give you." Oh. And the man hears these words, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." You can read it. And they take him by the hand, and he lifts him up. And like that, the man receives strength in his legs. He looked like he goes home. What a miserable day I had. I thought I was going to get money. And you say, ridiculous. And the man goes, he is totally amazed. He jumps up, likely all excited, and he's leaping and he's walking and he's praising God. And then he's holding on to these two preachers. Why? Because he receives something that he needed. He thought he needed money. And maybe your plan is, maybe the plan for salvation is it's there, but it's down the road. That day, that man got something that he didn't realize how important it was. And through the man, Jesus, who had died not that long ago, he receives physical strength. Well, what happens after that? It's quite an interesting story. When all the people saw it, people coming and going. You know, you watch the traffic. There's people going up and down the road, and they don't even pay attention to what's going on in here. But suppose there was some great thing, some miraculous thing. It might cause a little bit of stir. I remember David was speaking at the Villa, and it reminded me, he was talking about politics. And I remember quite a number of years ago, the Prime Minister was John Chrétien. They got us all together, and John Chrétien come through Atlantic, I think it was Atlantic Turbines at the time. Well, we worked with a guy, and he made no bones about the fact that he was not liberal, he was conservative, and he probably wouldn't even shake hands with John Chrétien. Well, when it was all over, he came up to me. I shook hands with him 3 times. Now, if there was something exciting going on, we might stop. And all of a sudden, there's some excitement here. It wasn't a prime minister or their emperor. But they realize this man who is a beggar, he's healed. How did this happen? And Peter begins to preach. And he, as we might say, he lets them have it, both barrels. His audience is Jewish, and he tells them, "You see this man? He was lame, and now he walks. You want to know how it happened? It's not from our power. When it comes to blessing in the gospel, it's not who is standing here on the platform. It's a message from God. And Peter presents to them, he says, this man stands before you. You're looking at him. He is standing. There is a change. Why? It's because of the man that not very long ago you crucified on a tree. Yes, it was by ignorance. You didn't realize who he was. But God sent him to be the Savior. You know what? He says something to them. And it's true for you. He says, you need to repent and be saved. He told them, you need to face your sin and the seriousness of it. Zion has already been saying, that is what you need to do tonight. You need to face your sin. Well, the story doesn't end there. There was a large number of people, because of the gospel that went forth, was that 5,000 people were saved. It's there somewhere. But something else happens. It goes up a little higher. Now it doesn't hit just the local people. It gets to the ears of the religious Jews. And the Sadducees come along. And they said, who is this talking about the resurrection? And then the high priest, Ananias and Caiaphas. See, they're still in power. They're the ones that were partially responsible for the death of the Lord Jesus. And they're still there. And they put Peter and James in prison, in the jail for the night. They get together and they say, what are we going to do? This gospel is going forth. I don't know what you would think. I don't know what I would think if all of a sudden the RCMP pulled in and arrested Ian and I. Say, what is this you fellows are talking about? You're telling people that they need to be saved. You're saying that this Bible is the only reliable source of information. We're going to throw you in jail. Well, I'd probably be a little bit perplexed. And Ian would get a little more excited. And here's Peter and James. They're in jail. And in the morning, they're summoned over. And they said, what are you doing preaching with this man Jesus? You ought not to do that. And this is where Peter comes in. He said, this man that was made whole, this is not from us. We couldn't do that. But remember back that man who was innocent and you put on the tree? We're here because through him, through Jesus, through his name, through his power, that man is healed. Listen to the words, if we go to verse 10. He says, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand before you whole. And then he goes on to say, there's no salvation in any other. Tonight, when it comes to the gospel, it is through him. The power of the gospel is not through me, not through Ian, not through David, or anybody else that stands here, or anybody else that nearly falls, like I nearly tripped. The power, the deliverance of the gospel is through the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the last few minutes of my message, this is where I want to emphasize. This gospel that we preach is about him and what he has done. When it comes to the salvation of your soul, when it comes to the forgiveness of sins, when it comes to entering heaven, paradise, however you want to put it, the only way, I repeat, the only way is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Neither is there salvation in any other. There's no other way, no other man, no other prophet, no other individual. There's no work that you can do. The only way that you and I can be saved, the only way that we can be made right with God, is through the Lord Jesus Christ. And Peter says, through this man, neither is there salvation in any other. It is only through him, the Lord Jesus. This was a pretty pointed message. Peter didn't hold back. He said, you crucified him? You didn't want him? If you want to be saved, it's through him and him alone. Neither is there salvation in any other. You know, tonight, you need to be saved. It would be a sad thing if that's what the message was. There's no salvation, there's no hope. We have vehicles out in our backyard, and sometimes the message has to be given, it's not worth fixing. A couple weeks ago, a week or so ago, it was really busy at work, and there's parts everywhere, and the email came out, return this engine because it is BER, it is beyond economical repair. You know that you and I, in our sins, we really are beyond repair. There are vehicles, I was working on one yesterday, and I came into the house, I said to Wendy, I said, this one has my head scratching. I do plan to get it. I've had them where I've said, nope, scrap it. It's no good. Well, you know when it comes to salvation? As far as you and I are concerned, we are without hope. But the message from God is, there is salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, people have tried turning over a new leaf. They say, I'm going to quit swearing. I'm going to quit sinning. I'll even quit smoking. That's not going to work. Neither is there salvation in any other. No other person, no other thing. There's no other name under heaven given among men, but only through him, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, that is a wonderful message. Suppose there was more than one way. Well, David and I might start bragging, well, I did this, and he might say, I've had 1,516 meetings. And I might say, well, you know how much money I've saved people fixing cars? And we'd start to brag about it. You know what? Neither one of them are going to work. Because there's only one way. It's what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. You know, as the Lord Jesus, a real man here on earth, a man who left, who was in, let me rephrase that, God's Son, he stepped out of heaven and was born as a baby on earth. You know what happened? God became man. The problem of sin was among men on earth. And the Lord Jesus took on him human form. God became flesh. He walked here on this earth You know what the difference was? There was not a sin in him. It's almost hard for us to imagine. Never a wrong thought. Never a step at a place. The Lord Jesus, as a sinless man, came to earth to personally deal with the problem of sin. For 4,000 years, likely, man had been plagued with sin and the effects of it, and it has still carried on for another 2,000 years. And all around the world, you see the effects of sin. If man could do it, it would have been done, but man can't do it. The Lord Jesus Christ, in His grace, He comes to earth. At about 33 years of age, He's telling His disciples, this is John chapter 14, He says, I am going away. You can't come right now, but I'm going away. You know where I'm going. And Thomas says, but we don't know where you're going. And how can we know the way? You know what the Lord Jesus says? He says, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. That's likely only a few months before this verse that we have read. Now the disciples, they had a hard job understanding that before the cross. But here's two of those disciples who were there. They looked at the cross and they struggled with it. They had a hard job understanding why, Jesus, why would you die on the cross? Now Peter understands. His message to the people and the echo of it comes down even to today, 2,000 years later. And here are the words. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. If you are ever going to be saved, if you are ever going to be fit for heaven, it is only through the Lord Jesus Christ and what He has done. And so I don't know what your plans are. Like Ian, I hope that somewhere in your mind, hopefully at the front of your mind is, I want to be saved, and I want to be saved now. I want this salvation. I want the forgiveness of sins. It's through Him. It is through the Lord Jesus Christ and what He has done. When He died on the cross, He paid the penalty for sin. We were talking in our Bible class today. I gave them homework. I'm going to try not and give them the answer. But John sees Jesus come. John the Baptist sees Jesus coming. And he sees Him and he says, look! Pay attention to Him. Behold the Lamb of God. Look at God's sacrifice. He is the one who is going to take away the sin of the world. Tonight, through this man, through the Lord Jesus Christ, and only through Him is salvation. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name. There's no other name under heaven given among mankind whereby or through Him and Him alone we must be saved. Tonight, if you would only trust the Lord Jesus Christ, If you don't get saved, the day will come. That will be the answer. There's no salvation. Not anymore. It was available, but you rejected it, and now it's eternal punishment. It doesn't have to be that way. Christ has died for sin, and through Him alone, you could be saved. We'll pray. Our Father, we give thanks tonight for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank that the message can be proclaimed, and it has been proclaimed, it has been preached for many centuries now concerning the Lord Jesus Christ and what He has accomplished at Calvary's cross. So we thank that there is salvation. We pray that there be individuals here that would understand their need as a sinner, and they might understand that they are the one that Christ died for. So bless the gospel has gone forth. We know the gospel is going in other places. We pray that there be blessing there as well. Take us home safely, we'd ask now, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.